This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. And if I could take a moment before we get to Adam Schefter, and I'm sure he will understand, yesterday was not just a Super Bowl. Yesterday was a rough day, a tough day, an emotional day in the ESPN family. Pedro Gomez, an ESPN reporter since 2003, one of the country's great baseball journalists, passed away unexpectedly at the age of 58. He lived in Phoenix. He's covered baseball for SportsCenter, Baseball Tonight, ESPN studio shows. He's been on radio. ESPN Radio has it. One of the great things about him that people always talk about is when you needed him, he always showed up. He tried to find time, even just for a hit on your show. 35-year career, covered more than 25 World Series and 20 All-Star games. Jimmy Pitaro, chairman of ESPN and Sports Content, said that Pedro was an elite journalist at the highest level of his professional accomplishments, are universally recognized. More importantly, Pedro was a kind, dear friend to us all. Our hearts are with Pedro's family and all who love him at this extraordinarily difficult time. Pedro Gomez, survived by his wife Sandra, sons Rio, Dante, and daughter Sierra. And our, obviously, thoughts, prayers go to them. And our thoughts are about Pedro at this time. So I appreciate everyone just take that minute and just think about somebody that had such dedication to his work and was a huge part of the ESPN family. And with no other way to transition from that, we bring in somebody that is also very near and dear to our hearts, and that's Adam Schefter, who joins us via the Goodyear Hotline. Schefty, clearly with just thinking about Pedro here, it's very hard to make an easy transition into sports, but I'm sure we'll figure out a way to do that. I guess my first question to you would be about what we saw from Tom Brady yesterday. And I look at it as something that I think you can call it improbable. At this age, moving to a new team, a Tampa Bay team that last year was good, not great, and they were 7-5. And to see him hold that trophy again is nothing short of amazing, in my opinion. What do you think?
Well, we're in a season of a pandemic where players have opted out. And good teams have lost and bad teams have won. Injuries have happened. And at the end of the season, in which no games were canceled, the last man standing is Tom Brady. Like, I mean, of course he is. And it's the same weekend in which his contemporaries, Peyton Manning and Charles Woodson, who is his teammate at Michigan, were elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame because they've been out of the game for 5 years. And here he is at the age of 43. Now, I don't know how many 43-year-olds or 40-somethings are listening to this, but when they play a game of basketball, pick a basketball or pick a football or softball or whatever they play in, think how their bodies feel the next day.
Yeah.
And this guy is defying every idea that somebody his age can't do. And I really think that's what it's about. Like, he is the greatest player of all time. He's one and produce more than anybody else. But now, I think it's about him being able to win and produce more than anybody else at this age ever has.
Right.
Like, it's, you know, Gordie Howe, Minnie Minosa. I mean, people don't do this into their 40s at his age, but he has. And I think the challenge to him, what was the name of his Facebook? Tom versus Time, right? Like, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's not Tom versus the Chiefs. It's Tom versus Time. And how much he could go keep kicking butt on Time.
You know, it's crazy because the only thing I can think of that's even close is maybe George Foreman, when we all mocked him coming back at the age of 40, and I think winning a title, beating a young prime, you know, Michael Moore at 43. But I kind of want to kind of talk about, because, you know, before the game, Adam, I said that the winner of this game would be at the start of potentially the next dynasty. And when you look at this team in Tampa, and you look at the salary cap space that they have, I understand they have to kind of get maybe Levante David signed. They may want to bring Barrett back, and they may have to, you know, let some guys go. But who's to say that with another year, being able to have time to practice and be able to gel more as a team in the unit. Remember, Antonio Brown came in late in the season. Gronk, they try to work a lot of people in. I don't know what they're going to do with O.J. Howard. But who's to say that they can't be right back on the same stage this time next year?
Well, again, I think people thought that they'd be better the second year. You know, Tom hadn't worked with these people before, couldn't work with them in the offseason. was supposed to be an issue. Just one more issue he overcame, right? Where only virtual workouts, no real training camp, new team, new wide receivers, new teammates. Same old Tom Brady, same result. So they should be better next year. They should be better. And again, I tweeted out last night during the game. I was watching and remember at this time last year, Tom Brady being the story that almost Deshaun Watson is now, where everybody was curious, where's Tom Brady going? Where? And the truth of the matter is, when free agency opened in March, there were really only two teams that were really serious about him. Now think about that. He's a free agent. You don't have to go trade 3 ones, 4 ones, some combination of players and picks to Houston for Deshaun Watson the way that some teams are willing to do now. You could have signed Tom Brady as a free agent without compensating anybody. And there were basically 28, 29, 30 teams that weren't interested. Think about that a second. Forget about what he's going to do for your team on the field. What about from a business marketing standpoint? It's like when the Jets signed Brett Favre, right? They didn't win the Super Bowl with him, but they became interesting and relevant. People talked about him. They cared. Tom Brady was in a better position than Brett Favre to succeed on the field. And there was a lack of it. Think about all the team's quarterback situations. And he couldn't generate more interest than he did.
That amazing. That part's amazing when you think about the resume of the player available. But as we know, there's always that age bias in any sport where you make a trade for an older player and fans are like, oh, well, a short runway there, or maybe he's past his prime and all that stuff. But do you – like, I have a million questions for you, Shefty, so bear with me. But because of you just said that, it made me think of Aaron Rodgers right now. And do you think there's any reason that Aaron Rodgers would be watching Brady do what he did? Because Brady never felt like that was his team in New England, but it was always Bill's team. That feels like Tom's team down there. Like the way those guys respond to him, the text messages he sent out, the joy on his face, just not just winning, but it just seemed like he enjoyed being there. Does Aaron Rodgers watch this happening and say to himself, all right, I'm 37. I see now that's got to be the playbook for me now. I got to find a place where I can be in that moment and that have that and still be able to win and play at the high level that he can play at.
Well, it's an interesting thought. And actually, I was thinking this morning that when Tom was leaving New England, I think one of the reasons that he left is he looked around and he didn't see the type of talent that he wanted to play with that gave him a chance to compete. And last year they got knocked out in the first round in a loss at home against Tennessee. And they just had a lack of firepower. And he didn't set out to go to free agency to land in Tampa. That was not the initial plan. I know that. Now the clock hand stopped on Tampa, and that's where he wound up going. But one of the things that was attractive about going to Tampa was Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, and you had to know that wherever he went, there was a good chance that Antonio Brown and Rob Gronkowski also were going to follow. And so he had all these weapons down there. They signed Leonard Fournette. They had Ronald Jones. They had a young offensive line they put together. They had good talent on defense. They had Todd Bowles. So, again, Tom Brady didn't go to the market looking for Tampa Bay, but Tampa Bay certainly was looking for somebody like Tom Brady. And by the way, we also can go back to the end of last season when Jameis Winston threw, what, like 9 interceptions in the last 2 games. And if he hadn't done that, and if he had finished strong and made the playoffs, would Tampa then have made the move? I'm just wondering. I don't know if they would have, if Jameis had showed stronger. So it all worked out. Like I said, I don't think that Tom was planning to land in Tampa when he set out to become a free agent, but he did recognize that he felt that his time was up in New England, that he needed to go elsewhere where he felt like there would be more talent, and it wound up being Tampa, and Tom was proven correct.
Now, Adam, I have a list here of 9 quarterbacks that could be on a move, whether it's Dak Prescott, Jacoby Brissett, Sam Darnold, Deshaun Watson, Jimmy G, Carson Wentz, David Carr, Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill, where all their futures are unknown. But let's start with the biggest fish of them all in Deshaun Watson. It seems like Houston is digging in. you know, is this a dangerous game of chicken, or do they really think that they're going to force Deshaun Watson to stay there because he's under contract? And if so, how nasty can this get?
We are in the unknown, and we are on February 8th. And what we know today is that the Texans today are unwilling to trade him, and they're telling teams they're not going to trade him. We also know that Deshaun Watson doesn't want to play there anymore. So this is not getting solved today. This is not getting solved this week. This is not getting solved this month, I would guess. So where does it go? And what happened? I don't think any of us know. I kind of believe that Houston won't budge. But at some point, if their quarterback keeps not showing up, or he shows up and becomes a distraction, or he holds a hold in as opposed to a hold out, do they then move? Like, I think that they're on a path to get divorced. It's just, when is Houston going to acknowledge that? And Houston has to pick the best of the worst-case scenarios, because you don't want to trade a player like Deshaun Watson, but you don't want the face of your franchise and the quarterback of your team coming in and being, how do we say this, not completely dedicated, not buying into your program.
Disconnected.
The James Harden plan. And let's see Deshaun Watson shows up in a fat suit and says, I haven't even opened my playbook, and it still has dust on it when he gets there, and he has to report because he can stay out all the OTAs, which is voluntary. And he can say, he can come there and say, hey, my hamstring is hurt. But, you know, we know that one may not get solved. But listen, I've never in my life been around, I've been around football a long time, never seen so many quarterbacks potentially. I forgot even to mention Teddy Bridgewater, who, you know, they were trying to give up, the Panthers was trying to give up potentially for Matthew Stafford and Mitchell Trubisky. So with Deshaun, with
Alex Smith, Tyrod Taylor, got them.
Yeah, wow. So with Carson Wentz, you know, reportedly being on the move, how does that one piece affect everybody else? Is, you know, because you think about the Colts and maybe wanting Sam Darnold, and you look at Jimmy G out there. Like, how does this one move kind of set the table for the rest of the quarterback carousel that we anticipate, you know, is going to happen before the draft?
Well, again, I think what happens is the Matthew Stafford situation expedited the Carson Wentz situation, which I think will expedite the Sam Darnold situation, which will expedite another situation. And the more teams fill their quarterback needs, and the more these other teams that don't fill their quarterback call are out there, the more anxious they get, and the more it just speeds up things. Look, it's February 8th, the day after the Super Bowl. I know at this time of the year, personally speaking, having covered the league for 30-plus years, this is a day in a week where I'm usually catching my breath and decompressing. You know, like, we've worked every day since July. We're tired. You know, I don't say it as a complaint. I love my job. Couldn't imagine doing anything else. But I know that normally it's a time I use to refresh and recharge, and I just don't feel like that's going to be the case at all. Like, I just feel like there's just a lot of unsolved issues out there right now.
Yeah, this definitely feels unprecedented, and there's so many different names, as you mentioned. So let me get two questions in here. And the first one, because Bart mentioned his name, and you did too, as far as, like, the dominoes, is Sam Darnold. If you're a Jets fan, can you expect Sam Darnold most likely to return with the Jets, or do you feel like they're getting calls on him and they're probably going to move on, whether they trade for a quarterback or draft one come April?
You think it's most likely that he returns, Alan?
I'm asking you that.
Yeah, I think that they are wide open on this.
Wow.
And the fact that they're wide open would tell me that they're inclined to move on from him. Okay? They haven't made a decision. They're looking at all the scenarios. But if you knew that he was the guy, you wouldn't be looking at all the scenarios. You wouldn't be listening. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
So the fact that that's going on tells me that I would think that they're more likely than not to make a move, but I don't think they've made any final decisions at all.
So that's a matter of seeing what's available and then seeing if it's better than what you
have.
It's
not hard to look at it, right? There's a group of quarterbacks. They made a call on Stafford.
The Jets did.
Yeah, the Jets did. Mm-hmm. The Jets did. And so, you know, it never went anywhere, but they made a call. Like, they look into these things, as they should, as they should. And so I don't know how they feel about each one of these quarterbacks whose names you mentioned. They might really like one that we don't realize. They may see one of those as an upgrade. Because, by the way, let's just say you wanted Teddy Bridgewater or Mitchell Trubisky or Carson Wentz. If you could get one of those free agent guys and didn't have to give up any compensation, and then you traded Sam for at least a two and potentially a late one, and you had all your picks, I mean, is that the scenario you want to go? Or do you want to go to your quarterback at two? Or do you want to trade that pick and move back? Or do you want to sign a free? Like, that's what they're going through. What gives us the best chance to win in the short and long term? It's, I mean, you come up with 20 different scenarios for them.
Yeah, it says a lot, though. You're right, and that's why you broke it down so perfectly. It says a lot that if they're listening, that means that they're not exactly content with what they have. Can I ask you about Matthew Stafford? And I know you've talked about this. You talked about it earlier today and yesterday as well. Did they get max value? The Lions get max value in the trade for him? Were there other trades? Were there better offers? Were they seeking something more and then settled for Goff and the picks?
Well, listen, when you get a former number one overall pick and two ones and a three, I don't think you're settling for anything. So, beyond that, they had great offers. They had great offers out there. There's no doubt about that, right? But they decided that was the one, and I think they did it in conjunction with Matthew Stafford. I think Matthew Stafford wanted to go to L.A. He let it be known to them that he wanted to go to L.A., and they were willing to accommodate him because the Rams accommodated the Lions with the offer that they made. The Rams didn't try to short shrift them, go cheap on them. They stepped up. And they stepped up because they believed in Matthew Stafford, and Matthew Stafford believed in the Rams, and both sides wanted to make it happen. And they did. So, you know, that's how that happened.
You know, Adam, for me, to me, one of the biggest stories in this offseason is going to be Dak Prescott, because I think he showed his value just with his absence. And it's reports that they're not even close. I mean, and if Dak Prescott, do they love Dak Prescott enough that he says, hey, if we can't figure something out, please don't franchise tag me so I can be a free agent, I can go where I want? Because Prescott.
They're not going to do that. Right. They're not going to leave themselves exposed at the quarterback position. I mean, they might not tag him if they know they can get Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers, or you pick the quarterback, right? Like, okay, we can get this guy? Okay, then we won't tag Dak. But if Dak says, hey, look, I don't want to be there, can you? No. What are they doing at quarterback?
So, I mean, is it a scenario where they can maybe sign and trade him, they tag him and then trade him maybe for Jimmy G, and they get a secondary type of quarterback? Because, like, if he doesn't want to be there, they're setting themselves up for a scenario where they got the Kirk Cousins and they're left with nothing because they only have him for 1 year.
No, they've got an issue on their hands, right? And that's why I think that they're hopeful and optimistic that they can figure out a way to get a deal done with Dak this offseason, and we'll see whether or not they can. But they've been talking now for the better part of almost 3 years, no deal. And now the pressure's on, and I think the leverage, even though Dak's coming off the injury, has shifted to him because he is that close to free agency, and he could do Kirk Cousins, and he could leave after this year. So they kind of have to get him signed. But I don't think they're just going to – I mean, it would be a mistake in my mind to leave yourself as exposed. And they're not going to just trade away a guy without having a short and long-term solution, I don't think. But we'll see.
Yeah, again, it's all about your options. Let me just follow up again before we let you go, and it's always great to talk to you. Thanks for the time, Shefty. Is the Carson Wentz situation, which you and Mort over the weekend said something's going to go down in a matter of days. So can you just update us on the latest there? And I know there was a report about Chicago being a team that could be ready to make a deal for him. What are you hearing on that situation with Carson Wentz?
Yeah, I think the Eagles will trade him. And again, they've told teams that they are open to bringing him back. But everyone I keep talking to, teams that I've spoken to, nobody thinks that Carson Wentz is going back there, not to mention the fact that he doesn't want to go back there. Okay, so they've got an issue, and the fact that the price tag has risen thanks to Matthew Stafford has created an opportunity to make a deal. I think they've got attractive enough offers right now to make the deal, but I think they're holding off until they get exactly what they want. And it's February 8th, and what's the rush to do it on February 8th? They could do it February 10th, 12th, 16th, whenever. But, yes, at some point I do believe and do expect that Carson Wentz is going to get traded here.
Yeah, and that, again, part of the carousel that we're expecting this offseason. It is amazing. It's always good to talk to you. Shefty, thanks so much. You can exhale. Season is over, but as you know, the work never stops.
Yeah. Alan Barr, I appreciate having me. Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure. He's the best, man. I mean,
of course,
he's tirelessly, man. You ever around him? 2-3 phones. I think I saw a two-way, a Nextel, a chirp, and a walkie-talkie one time. He's amazing at what he's able to do. I think this Philly situation, this Dallas situation within that division, is amazing. And you look at also what Washington. I mean, the NFC East has a quarterback issue. At three franchises, and we only have one stable one.
Do the Giants know for sure that Daniel Jones is their guy? I think they want to believe it. I'll tell you what, he really stopped me in my tracks about Sam Darnold. Like, Shefty stopped me in my tracks about Sam Darnold. I mean, there's one thing if we know we're getting this guy, let's start taking calls on Sam. But if you're just taking calls on Sam and soliciting, all right, what can we get for him? Like, and you don't, like, he made it clear, like, you know, it's not like they got something in pocket. So if you know already that you're ready to move on from a quarterback, or at least if I get the right offer, I'll do this, and I can always find someone else. Looks like there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks moving around.
Yeah.
It says a lot. It's almost like saying, like, I think he might be more valuable to us in assets than he is as an actual player on the field. That stopped me in my tracks. And if you're a Jets fan, if this is in New York, if you're listening on 98.7 ESPN, like, that has got to stop you in your tracks as a Jets fan. Like, okay, so it's less likely he's going to be in green, at least in jet green, next season.
Yeah.
That's mind-blowing.
Yeah, it almost seems like it's a last case scenario. Like, okay, if we got to keep him, we'll keep him.
Yeah. Well, that's right. And how do you think he'd feel about that? But that was Adam Schefter giving us, as always, the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Coming up, the best segment of the show. Everybody loves it. Audio files. You'll hear from those that are making the headlines. Some of the best audio at a Super Bowl weekend. It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We talked about beating them bad. We knew they wasn't physical enough, so we knew we wanted to blow them out. We just wanted to win the Super Bowl. We didn't really care about what the media was saying because the media not out there on the field. We don't even keep score. We just run that up and leave. We defeated Drew Brees. We defeated Aaron Rodgers. We still was underdogs. They real gimmicky on offense, and man, we don't play like that, man. We like smash mouth football. We like coming downhill, getting in them trenches.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart, you got to love that. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Yeah, that's the kind of talk that you must love that.
I love that because that's the reality of it. Like I said, and like I say all the time, big hits change games. When you physical, like you really know. It's like when you tussle with a dude and you know in your heart, like, yo, this dude is way too strong for me. I better back up. But nobody else notices it. But he's like, whoa, I ain't never felt no torque like that. And that's what they was, and that's what they was dealing with. They were coming like, all right, you catch it, we gonna hit you. Because, you know, at the end of the day, I said all the time, great defense always beats great offense when it's a matchup that way. And it's crazy how that works because the game and the foundation of football is physicality.
Right.
It's like saying, okay, I'm going to be a boxer. Yeah, I'm going to be a boxer, and I'm going to beat you with a jab all the time. And one dude got one punch. He got a wilder overhand right. And all he got to do is touch you one time with it, and it's night-night. And I feel like, you know, Tampa Bay was motivated by being disrespected. and they learned something about themselves throughout the course of the year, and it took time for this stew, this gumbo, to come together. And it starts simmering and coming together at the beginning of that bye week where I feel like Bruce Arians said, you know what, let me take some of the controls away from myself and give it to Tom Brady and quit all this no risky, no bisky. We got to let him be Tom Brady because he's the greatest to ever do it. So you hear him saying in the previous leading up to it, hey, man, I just let Tom do his thing. And sometimes I just let him sit out there and coach. Because he's the one out there throwing the ball.
And we saw Brady doing that a couple of times. The hot mic picked him up looking at the sideline, yelling. He didn't like the play.
Yeah. He's like, keep the same play. Because they called a timeout to see what formation he was in. He was like, it don't matter. I got this. No matter what they do, this play is going to kill it. Let's go.
Yeah, and you got to love that. That's when you empower players that obviously have the resume of a Tom Brady. All right, well, we've been talking enough about the Super Bowl. Let's hear from those who made the headlines Super Bowl weekend in what we call audiophiles.
The audiophile.
Now, this happened before the Super Bowl, and it is certainly something that had to be on the minds of everybody there. It was certainly discussed. Andy Reid, his son, who was Britt, who's a linebacker's coach, outside linebacker's coach, was involved in a three-car crash Thursday night in Kansas City. He did not go with the Chiefs to the Super Bowl. You had involved in this accident as a five-year-old girl who was left in critical condition. And also, from the police report, Britt Reid's eyes were bloodshot, and there was a moderate odor of alcoholic beverages, according to a police officer statement obtained by ESPN. So that is a story, obviously, now that not only just was on everybody's mind, but is now going to be something that has to be followed up as the Super Bowl is over. And Andy Reid did talk about it after the game.
I'd be lying if I didn't tell you my heart bleeds for the people involved in it. I mentioned that. And so, but again, we had put the game plan in the week before. And so the distraction wasn't a distraction as far as the game plan goes. That was already in and kind of how we were going to work with it and go forward. So I would tell you, anything, it's a loaded question. From a human standpoint, it's a tough one. From a football standpoint, two separate things. From a football standpoint, I don't think that was the problem.
I think what he's trying to say is clearly, you don't want to say, oh, this is why we lost.
Yeah, you got to give the team that you lost to credit because everybody's dealing with some type of distractions.
Terrible story.
From him, from a personal standpoint, it had to be weighing heavy on his heart. And, that sometimes trickles down to your team who feels sorry for you. And also, this isn't just your son, somebody that they don't know. This is their coach as well, somebody that they spend time with every single day. And, Andy Reid has had his issues and troubles with his sons throughout the year. That's why I believe that he wanted them close to him so he can keep an eye on them because they've struggled with demons. I think he lost one son.
Garrett,
I believe, to an overdose. And, now to deal with those. But this is the human part of it because at the end of the day, he's a father first, a coach second. And just everybody involved, your heart goes out to him because it's a tragic situation. But now that the football is over with, now you have to go deal with the reality of trying to support your son and get what's right for them and also for you to, to try and do whatever you can do to help this little young girl.
And face whatever consequences come out of something like this. In the Super Bowl, however, was a performance for the ages, not just for Tom Brady, but for Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, who, by the way, Brady had never thrown a first-quarter touchdown in a Super Bowl, which is hard
crazy
to believe.
Crazy.
But then he finally did, and it would be Gronk that would catch it. Gronk had two touchdowns from Brady, and the two of them moved past Joe Montana and Jerry Rice as the greatest tandem in playoff history with the amount of times they have connected in Super Bowls. So with that in mind, it was Brady that called on Gronk to join him down in Tampa, and Gronk recalled the story. Take a listen.
It was kind of a series of conversations. It wasn't anything like, hey, Rob, I want you to come back, like come to Tampa with me. It was over a little bit of time, and then free agency hit, and I was sitting there like watching, like, he told me he's gonna go down to Tampa or to another team. And he hit me up, and he's like, yo, would you come down? And I was like, I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you to make a move. It's just an unbelievable story. And there's a lot, more conversations that went down. But, we're just going to keep them between us.
Does Gronk blow your mind? Another guy, he took a year off. But just his talent, his ability, and his awareness off that play, that first touchdown, it's just a talent, not just to have physical talent, but there's something also about how calm he is in pressure moments.
Yeah, I mean, he's great. This is the thing. Like, he's crazy. Like, people think he's crazy. He's crazy like a fox, right? Because before Tom Brady called him, he was the 24/7 wrestling champion. And he had lost all his weight, and he's feeling good, and he talked about how depressing. I think the bigger story is, we talked this week all about the Patriot way, right? And we talked about who was more responsible for it. Everybody jumped on Danny Amendola and talking about how he's crazy and all this stuff, and everybody came out to defend Bill Belichick. But the fact that Rob Gronkowski was willing to come back for Tom Brady but not willing to come back in New England tells you everything that you need to know about the players that respect Bill Belichick but hate going down there and hate the environment in which Bill Belichick sets down there, because he was willing to come out. Remember, he had the interview when he was talking about how he was depressed and every day hurting and all that stuff,
and he
found this happy place just back with Tom Brady in a different place. So that says something about New England more than anything that Danny Amendola can say. So to me, that proves the fact that it is about time, and that, sometimes the way that Bill Belichick does things isn't for everybody, and he wore people out, much like Pop wore out Kawhi. He wore out Rob Gronkowski, and Rob Gronkowski was no more willing to take care of being underneath that type of pressure box like Teddy Bruschi talks about. Even when Teddy Bruschi defends it, he makes New England sound like a horrible place. Oh, Matthew Stafford's not tough to handle being scrutinized and ridiculed and tortured and beat. He's not tough enough. Well, you know what? I don't want to be tough enough. You damn right. So I'm going over to the Sunshine State where I can enjoy my life every day.
Last but not least, let's enjoy this for a minute. They don't show it on TV, and yet it is kind of funny. Of course, as we do almost every year, even with only 25,000 fans at Ray J, we had a streaker.
It's always now, one idiot, no matter what.
There always is. Now, I understand on TV they want to downplay that stuff, but there's nothing like Kevin Harlan doing play-by-play of a streaker on Westwood One Radio. Take a listen.
5:03 to go. Someone has run on the field. Some guy with a bra. And now he's not being chased. He's running down the middle of the 40. Arms in the air and a victory salute. He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants. He's being chased to the 30. He breaks a tackle from a security guard. The 20, down the middle, the 10, the 5. He slides at the 1, and they converge on him at the goal line. Pull up your pants. Take off the bra and be a man. And the players with hands on hips at the other end of the field are looking at him and shaking their head and saying, why, oh, why is this taking place in a Super Bowl?
If I had a dime for every time I heard, pull up your pants and take off the bra and be a man, well, I'd have a dime. And that's Audio Files. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Commercial insurance through Progressive protects your business and your dream. Choose from over 30 coverage options at ProgressiveCommercial.com. This President's Day, Dell honors all you do with up to $300 off their latest tech like XPS and Alienware systems with Intel Core processors and top electronics. Plus free shipping on everything. Call 800-BUY-DELL or visit Dell.com/President's Day. That's 800-BUY-DELL. So how do we do lunch money-wise? Let's see if we made the right picks going forward. We'll revisit lunch money coming up next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. We didn't get to enough calls today, but we got the rest of the week to do that, so we promise we will. And I got a shout out. So we have T Dudist, I think is his name.
T Dudist.
On Twitter. And he said, well, you guys aren't being aired in Chattanooga as of today, which I don't like that. He said, nothing against the host of the new show there, but going from calls to actual athletes and coaches to Goober's hot takes with sentences made of clicks and pops is hard to deal with. So I told him, and anybody else out there, if you can't get us in your area, A, demand it. B, you have other options. Listen via the app, ESPN app. Or if you have SiriusXM, we're on Channel 80, ESPN Radio. Get us there. So we can always fix these problems, right? There's always a way, Bart.
Yeah. Where there's a will, there's a way. Ain't no Absolutely. Mountain high enough. Ain't no
valley low
enough to keep us from you.
And you know what? We have to have some accountability, don't we?
Yeah,
we did Lunch Money on Friday. We do our picks during the football season every Friday, Lunch Money. And, you know, we can't always just brag, hey, we got it right. Because we got some things right, we got some things wrong. So how about we do a little Lunch Money here and have our accountability of where we were right and where we were wrong? You ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, clearly we were right on the pick. We took the Bucks and plus +3. And that was a 31-9 win. That was an easy one. We both felt like the Bucks defense, right? We both agreed that was going to be a factor. It was. I just didn't expect it to be a blowout. So with that in mind, our over-under, 56, we took the over.
Yeah, they hurt us with that one.
40.
It's no way we could have thought that they would only get 9.
Who thought
points.
Mahomes wouldn't? Right. So a couple of other props. Tyreek Hill, 92.5 yards. We said over. He got 73. Travis Kelce, 8.5 catches. We took the under. We thought those linebackers would stop him. Now, he did get 10, but as you said,
We thought it would be flip-flop.
Patrick Mahomes, 2.5 touchdowns, over, under. We were like, yeah, over. He had 0. Who knew? And Tom Brady, 1.5 touchdowns. We took the over. He got 3.
Yes.
Ding, ding. And also, with Brady, what is this? Oh, this is sacks for the defense. 2.5 sacks. They got 3. Ding, ding. So we got 3 right, but the most important one was picking the team.
Yeah, it was like a C-. It was like a C-. It's like, you know, our fans would be like, we only lost a little bit. Like, you didn't go broke.
Yeah, props. I mean, you're not putting a ton of money on props anyway.
Yeah, but to win the game, you know, the spread on that one, you know what I'm saying? We had you there right there. That's the important one.
Yeah, certainly not great. If you missed any part of the show, especially Adam Schefter, he was great. Be on the podcast as well. Plenty more to get to. We promise more calls throughout the week. And Bart, football season's over, but basketball season begins. See you tomorrow.
Triple single.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.